Good morning. It's Friday, 12th of November. Our New Testament reading today is Acts chapter 28, and we are with the Apostle Paul in Rome. Once again, I'm reading to you from Brother Harry Whittaker. I read, "As soon as Paul was settled in lodgings in the city, he sought contact with the leaders of the Jewish community. He could not go to them, for always there was a chain round his wrist. So by messenger he invited the synagogues to send representatives to come and meet him. By this time the name of Paul and what he stood for was known wherever there was a synagogue. So, if only out of curiosity, delegates came from every segment of Roman Jewry. First of all, Paul was concerned to vindicate himself before them. There was no hope at all that they would listen sympathetically to his message concerning Christ if they were full to the top with prejudice against the speaker. He explained, as briefly as possible, how he came to be a prisoner in Rome. Sanhedrin, Felix, Festus, Agrippa had all recognised that there was really no case against him. Then why had he appealed to Caesar, thus appearing to pass a vote of no confidence in his own people? Simply because of the hatred and excess stirred up against him by a small, implacable minority, that I might deliver my soul from death. But the apostle was careful to stress he had in no wise turned against his nation because of this. Why, had not his imprisonment during the past 2 years and more stemmed from his fervent declaration before the Sanhedrin that he clung tenaciously to the hope of Israel, the hope and resurrection of the dead?" That's chapter 23 and verse 6. "Because they had heard that he had a message for Gentiles, they must not assume that he had lost any of his Jewishness. It is for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." The response of his hearers was very guarded. It had to be, for if Paul had been the centre of disturbance and tumult in Judea, the same could happen in Rome, and the edict of Claudius and the riots which caused it were too recent a memory for comfort. They knew well enough about the Christians as one of the many religious parties into which Jewry was divided, and they knew also that these Jewish Christians were execrated by all the rest. But concerning Paul himself, there had been no official representation sent them from Jerusalem, either by letter or by official delegate. So, until they had heard Paul more fully, they thought it best to suspend judgment. There is mention now of some of Paul's prison friends. I read again. Helped financially by contributions from Philippi, and probably from aristocratic brethren in Rome, Paul, even though constantly under guard, was able to enjoy liberty of a sort in his own hired house. But he didn't live there alone. Besides members of the Rome Ecclesia, both Jews and Gentiles, not a few others came to him from further afield. Timothy, Luke, Aristarchus, Tychicus, Onesimus, Epaphras, Epaphroditus, Mark, Demas, Jesus Justus, are all referred to as being with him at this time. A very worthwhile volume could be written about these and other friends of Paul. A detail of special interest illuminates the allusions to Epaphras and Aristarchus, who are both referred to as the apostles' fellow servants and fellow prisoners. It looks as though these two took it in turns to minister to Paul, one being with him in the house, his fellow prisoner, whilst the other acted as his liaison officer with the ecclesia and the synagogue and Roman authorities. John Mark, who earlier had been the centre of such strong disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, also came to help. He was now completely reconciled to the apostle. And that, I think, is an appropriate end to this reading. Thank you.